1 Samuel 8 this afternoon, just for an introduction. Been to this passage a few times over the last 3 years or so anyway. 1 Samuel chapter 8, notice verses 1 through 7. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. The title of this message is kind of was inspired by a message I listened to, Who is Your King? And I've entitled this, No King But Jesus. But notice 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel. The name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. And all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and to Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Notice, like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and notice the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me, notice, and served other gods, so do they unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto the voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Again, as I've pointed out before, that Israel was established as a theocracy, but they wanted a monarchy. They wanted to be like all the other nations. And I really believe that America has followed that same path, as I've said before. America was established as a constitutional republic, but we've been told that we are a democracy, and so that's what we want, is a democracy. In other words, we want people power. People, you know, of course, you know, we the people, we should have power to decide things. But here's the reality of this. Democracy speaks of the power of majority, majority rule. And the reality of this, and this is actually, you know, from a statement that I remember many times in our class in Bible college, was taught by a man whose family actually came from communist Germany. And he literally every summer went back into communist Germany to take books into pastors and all that. And it was very interesting. He always said this, democracy leads to mobocracy, which will end in tyranny. That's exactly what we've seen in history. That's exactly what we're seeing in America right now. You think about the example of the French Revolution. You read about that. You literally see so-called democracy that they had, the will of the people, and literally we end up with a tyranny in the end. Our republic, again, our republic should be ruled by law, and of course, the Constitution. Years ago, I came across a flow chart of our federal government, and that's not true anymore, but this flow chart shows the Constitution at the top. You know, we have this mindset, you know, the president is at the top. And no, the Constitution is at the top of our government, should be. It's not the way it is anymore. In fact, I came across an article, I haven't had a chance to read it yet, that we are operating like a dictatorship. So our president is accusing the president of China, the dictator of China, being a dictator. We're no different. But you have your legislative branch, the executive branch, and your judicial branch, and of course, three forms of government based on a verse in Isaiah. So Israel was established again, as I said, as a theocracy, but they wanted a monarchy, and so the consequences. I've read this before. We've taught on it and preached through this passage before. It says in verse 10 and following, these are the consequences of wanting this type of government. It says, Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself. I think they all call this as a draft in our country. I noticed for his chariots and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. By the way, I believe we're heading for an active draft once again because they can't get enough soldiers to do all their wars around the world. Not only that, but we have such a woke thing. Nobody wants to sign up anymore. So here's the reality of it. If they don't have enough military, they're going to start saying, I want you, I want you. They're going to take our sons and our grandsons for themselves. And he, notice, will appoint captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. It's all about the tyrannical government. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards. They call that eminent domain. Even the best of them, they don't want the worst properties. They're going to take the best of the properties close to where they want to make a highway going through or whatever. They're going to take it and, quote unquote, give you a fair amount for it and give them to his servants, just like Ahab. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take, notice how many times it says take here. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. And he will take the tenth of your sheep. Notice taxes. Oh, well, wish you had 10% taxes. He will take the tenth of your sheep and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye have chosen, which he shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. God says, okay, you want that government? It's yours. Now, notice me also Judges chapter 8. This is actually off and on an issue as far as Israel is concerned. Judges chapter 8, notice verse 22. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son. Of course, in this time of history, they had judges who were over them, but they were not kings. And thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Also chapter 21, verse 25. So why was there so much chaos in the times of the judges? So much wickedness out of control. Judges 21, verse 25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. When everyone is doing what they think is right instead of what God thinks is right, you're going to have total chaos. Now, as far as the kingdoms that we could be associated with, there's three in particular I want to emphasize. First of all, the kingdom of God. Let me have John chapter 3 and remind you of the statement that Jesus made. We've seen it here recently, but this is how you get into the kingdom of God. It's not automatic, like so many think. John chapter 3, and as he's visiting with Nicodemus here, it says in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is interrelated term with the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, physical birth, spiritual birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. If you have one birth, you're going to die forever. Notice you have to have a second birth, a spiritual birth. Notice born of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye, plural, must be born again. And then he emphasizes, the principle of the wind bloweth where it listeth. It speaks of the working of the Holy Spirit. Then verse 8, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, there are too many who have this false idea because of dispensational teaching, all that Jesus came to offer a kingdom. The Jews rejected it and so on. No, he came the first time to die as Savior. Jesus very clearly said that. And in John chapter 6, they tried to forcibly take him and make him king. So we're not talking about an earthly kingdom here. And in fact, this verse just came to my mind. Notice Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Even amongst his disciples, there was confusion about this between this earthly kingdom and this heavenly kingdom, the kingdom of God. Ephesians 5:5 speaks of this kingdom as the kingdom of Christ and of God. Colossians 1:13, who God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So as we think about this spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God, notice it says here in verse 6 of Acts chapter 1, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They're asking about an earthly kingdom. Lord, you're leaving. You're heading back to heaven, you said. So are you going to restore the king? They're still confused about this. In fact, there were many who rejected Jesus Christ because they were expecting an earthly king, a Messiah who's going to deliver them from the tyranny and the power of Rome. Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel, this earthly kingdom under Jewish kings? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father put into in his own power. But we're going to look at the signs of the times and try to figure it out and set dates. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And we have spoken these things while they beheld. Notice he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, notice, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, when Jesus arrived in heaven, what happened? Is he standing at the right hand of majesty on high? 8 or 9 different times in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is seated until the kingdoms of this earth become the kingdoms of God and of Christ. So again, he went to heaven, he ascended to heaven, and he is seated on the throne of his kingdom. So this is, again, so many times I say, this is a blasphemous thing to remove Jesus Christ from the throne on which he now sits. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, as far as this kingdom of God, this kingdom of heaven. And again, as you read the Gospels carefully, you see that those two terms are used interchangeably when you compare Gospel accounts. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, notice verses 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit... Oh, this sounds like John chapter 3. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. So, obviously, sodomites and adulterers and all those are included in the same category here. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Of course, such were some of you, but ye are washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Notice with me also Galatians chapter, I saw that earlier, Galatians chapter 5, but notice with me Ephesians chapter 5. Galatians 5, the works of the flesh and so on, he emphasizes that. But notice Ephesians, we have the same thought here, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and following. Fornication. And all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, notice this, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. I do want for us to look at Galatians 5, the verse I want to emphasize. Again, how many times does God have to say something for us to get it? If somebody continues in a life of sin, they are not going to be a part of the kingdom of God. Why? Because they're not in Christ. Nothing has changed as far as God the Holy Spirit coming within at the time of faith in Christ. They make a profession, but they're living like an unbeliever. Now, verse 19, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Wow, that's sin. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Notice here's our statement. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus said in more than one occasion, pray like this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I want you to notice with me Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, this is a passage I wanted to get to here this morning in relation to the false profession of Simon. I'm just going to mention this as far as this message. It's very interesting that you look at, in Acts chapter 8, it says that Simon believed. Verse 13, Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered and so on. That is the same Greek word, believed, as in James chapter 2, in verse 19, where it says, the devils believe and tremble. So just because somebody says they believe in Jesus does not mean that they have eternal life. But in this context, I want you to notice here, It says in verse, I forgot the reference here. Verse 12, it says, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning, notice, the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, let me ask you, is that the future kingdom? Let's be Acts chapter 14. There are many references in the book of Acts to them preaching about the kingdom of God. That tells me we're not talking about an earthly kingdom. They're not promising an earthly kingdom. You know, yeah, as soon as we believe, then you know, the Lord will come back and set up his kingdom. You know, Jesus Christ established his kingdom. It's a heavenly kingdom, and he's going to take control of the kingdoms of men, as we'll see in a moment here. Notice Acts 14, as let's just look at verse 19 through the verse I want to see here. It says, there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas as to Derbe, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, where he experienced persecution. He wasn't afraid to go back. But notice verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and don't you wish that it ended there with a period? And that we must, it's a necessity, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. We're not talking about an earthly kingdom. Notice, through much tribulation, we must enter into the kingdom of God. So very clearly we see that the Bible's mentioning here the kingdom of God. Now, let me just say this. Months ago, maybe even 2 years ago, maybe now as I think about it, remember I was preaching and teaching through Genesis, I emphasized something about the kingdom of God. Why is it that some of the genealogies in the book of Genesis continue off and it's just like they drop off? They're not continued. Well, it's very interesting as I was doing some reading, as I'll just remind you of this, as I was doing some reading about that, literally, those lineages had nothing to do, they were not related to the kingdom of God. So the lineage is presented in Scripture and then it ceases because it was not part of the kingdom of God, it's dropped. These things all dropped off, and notice the line continues on down through Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, as far as the kingdoms of men, I'll remind you of Nimrod. It says in Genesis 10, verses 8 through 10, that he established a kingdom. And I really believe that's the start of tyrannical power and rule. Now, that doesn't mean there wasn't wickedness before the flood. But as far as after the flood, Nimrod established that. And, of course, then we have the Tower of Babel in chapter 11. You know, let us make a name for ourselves. Let us build us a city. So what is the city that they're focused on today? I believe Jerusalem. I believe that with all my heart. The papacy wants Jerusalem. The Jews want Jerusalem. I mean, that is where they're going to establish this global kingdom. I believe that with all my heart. But there's a desire to establish a world empire throughout history. Genesis 14, we have Chedorlaomer and the five kings together. They established an empire. So you have the Egyptian empire in history. You have the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Roman Pax Romana Empire, the Most Holy Roman Empire, the Roman Catholic Church that established their kingdom at the downfall of the pagan Rome. But all along the way, you have the Hittite Empire, and you have all of these other kingdoms. Even today, you have communism, Nazism, Marxist Zionism. They're all trying to establish an earthly kingdom. These are the kingdoms of men. Not only that, but I really believe this is why we have a lot of the problems we have in our world today. We have the Anglo-American Empire that has been established, and they're trying to establish it firmly. America is a part of an Anglo-American Empire. We are seeking to build into this British Empire that used to exist. You know, the sun never sets on the British Empire, you know? The sun does not set on the Anglo-American Empire. There's a reason why we have our military everywhere around the world. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. I know I'm not going to this passage because it's December. I want you to see this passage. No. I want to focus, but I want to look at the context. Because literally, I believe we see the idolatry of our world, and then we have a contrast here as far as the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1, "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven." Notice, "for the heathen are dismayed at them." I thank my lucky stars. You know, that's why I don't like that patriotic song where it says, "I thank my lucky stars, I'm born in America." You know, but horoscopes. I know it's horoscopes, but horror-scopes. When you think about the wickedness that God sees those things as, notice, "the heathen are dismayed at them." What sign were you born under? Who cares? Who cares? You think what sign you're born under is going to determine your life? You got a shallow thing of the view of life then, don't you? "For the customs of the people are vain." Exactly what I just said. "The customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth the tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe." And notice they deck it with silver and gold. Deck the halls with piles of... "They deck it with silver and gold. Notice they fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. Oh, Christmas tree, oh..." There are songs that tell us exactly we bought into this. Anyway, that's my December challenge. "They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord..." Notice this comparison here. There is none like... That's all the things that the pagans, the heathen do with their false gods. "There is none like unto thee, O Lord. Thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are together brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into place," and so on. So then it goes on to describe all of their idolatry. Verse 10, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation." Think about this contrast here. Jesus Christ is described here as the King of nations. So we think about all these kingdoms, the kingdoms of man. Literally, I believe that they are going to be destroyed. They're going to be taken over by the Lord himself. Third kingdom is the kingdom of Satan. Luke chapter 4, I believe this is another clue that helps us understand what's going on in our world today. All these powerful people like Klaus Schwab. Let's see, I was trying to think of the name I just saw. Bill Frankenstein Gates, as he's manufacturing all his new meats and everything. All of these so-called important people in our world, just like the Jewish man who died here recently, Kissinger, he knows the truth now. And I don't think he's doing battle with his opponents in heaven. That's our world's reckoning of it. I read it with my own, in an article. Yeah, Kissinger's gonna deal with the disagreements in heaven now, with all those who've gone before him. Don't think so. Based on what he believed, he said he believed. Notice me, Luke 4 verses 5 through 8. "The devil, taking him, Jesus, up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." Notice that. All the kingdoms of this world. "And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, for to whomsoever I will, I give it." I've said this before, but where does Jesus say, "You know what you're talking about, Satan? You don't have that power"? He does right now as the prince of the power of this world. The prince of this world, Jesus said three times in the Gospel of John. "If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." I don't have any clue how wicked some of these people are in power. But I have read just enough to know they are wicked, wicked, wicked. Why? Because they have, just like Ahab, they've sold their soul out to the devil. to do all evil. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Chapter 11, Jesus acknowledged that Satan had a kingdom. Luke chapter 11, verse 14. He was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. It came to pass, when the devil was gone out, that dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. Here's the king of the devils. He's casting out devils through his power. Others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall, notice, his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. Notice, Satan has a counterfeit of the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ is king of a spiritual kingdom. Satan is king of a spiritual kingdom. This is a spiritual kingdom that's unseen by us. Think about this. Okay, so we have these earthly kingdoms that Satan is trying to control. In fact, he's given power in these kingdoms. But I want to remind you that he's over a spiritual kingdom, and his spiritual kingdom is going to fall at the power of the Lord Jesus someday. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. Okay, so if I'm casting out devils by Beelzebub, your sons are casting out devils. What power are they using? But if I, with the finger of God, that's the Holy Spirit as you compare Scripture with Scripture, but I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come unto you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Then he talks about the unclean spirit, and I really believe we have that in our modern day. Based on Matthew 12 and other places, he teaches that. Again, John 12, John 14, John 16. Jesus calls Satan the prince of this world. You think about that, 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. If you love the world, the things that are in the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So when you think about Satan being the prince of this world, so when we love the things that Satan loves, in fact, Jesus told Peter, get behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things which be of God. The prince of this world does not care about the things of God. This world system is ruled by Satan. In fact, this verse just came to my mind, 1 John 5, and I think it's the second last verse, if I remember correctly. Verse 19, third verse, before the end. 1 John 5, verse 19. Back to verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Going back to the first hour, and he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, the Bible says. And notice, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. So notice this contrast, going back to the morning message. We know that we, as believers, are of God. We're in Christ. We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, and so on. But notice it goes on to say, the whole world, in contrast, lieth in wickedness. Lieth under the control of Satan. Literally, he has a spiritual kingdom, and he's in power in this kingdom. Ephesians chapter 6, I believe we see our protection in this spiritual kingdom. Kingdom of Satan is a reality today, just as much as the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven is a reality today. It's not future. Ephesians 6, notice verses 10 and following. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Notice this kingdom, the description of his kingdom. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not a physical battle. It's not a flesh and blood battle, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is not even a political battle. This is a spiritual battle. All right, so when you think about Klaus Schwab, because he seems to be the central focus of a lot of this globalism and stuff. When you think about Klaus Schwab, it's not a flesh and blood battle, but there is a spiritual control of that man and others around him. You know, the IMF, all these global institutions, there is a spiritual power about them. In fact, I'm convinced that most of these men, these individuals, a lot of women as well, that claim to be a woman. That's strange in itself. But here's the reality of this. There is a spiritual power that's behind them. And I'm convinced that they have sold out their soul in many cases. They cannot be saved. They have literally crossed a line where they cannot be saved. There is a wicked kingdom. Notice again these phrases that Paul uses here. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. The Bible tells us what our weapons are. Take, in verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. It's increasingly getting evil. That's why I say sometimes it just seems like it's starting to unravel. Lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. Obviously, if it's getting increasingly evil, just like before the flood, the day of judgment is coming. And the day when we're going to be with the Lord. It says, and having done all, to stand. We need to stand alone at times, just like Micaiah against 400 prophets of Ahab. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, protecting your mind, your thoughts. The helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is our weapon right here. It's a spiritual battle, so this is our weapon. And notice, all of this is put on in the prayer closet. Why is it that modern day Christianity is praying less in the increasing evil times in which we live? We should be praying more, folks. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And he, pray for me. Pray for missionaries. Pray for those who are out there proclaiming the gospel message. Again, it's a spiritual battle. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. God created these evil spirits originally as good spirits, good angels. Notice again, though, we have these positions of power in the spiritual kingdom. Colossians 2, verse 15. Verse 14 gives us the context, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and notice, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And notice, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. They're going to be cast into an eternal lake of fire that was created for the devil and his angels. Literally, we see this kingdom of Satan. Now, I want to remind you that laws identify a kingdom. So how do you know which kingdom we're a part of? How do you test which kingdom you're following, which kingdom you're giving yourself over to? Luke 6:46 says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" We cannot claim that Jesus Christ is my King if I am not obeying what God says, what the Lord says in His Word. Acts 5:29, we have to obey God rather than men. In the context of that, they were telling the apostles to do something contrary to what God had said. Now, as we tie this together, I want you to notice some statements here as far as Jesus. Acts chapter 17, verses 5 through 7. Acts chapter 17, verse 5. I emphasized this passage when we were going through the initial stages of our unincorporation. I want to draw out a statement and emphasize it. Acts 17, verse 5. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them lewd fellows of the baser sort. Notice it's always interesting. They, the powers that be, they don't find good people to carry out their work. This is a good description. Lewd fellows of the baser sort, the low lives, gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar. Oh, just the same things as today. In fact, they buy people off to do their dirty work and creating uproars, tumults, and everything. Notice they assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Notice this statement in verse 7. "Whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar." Here's the earthly laws of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus. This is why I've entitled this study this afternoon, "No King But Jesus." Is Jesus Christ truly our king? Now again, this comes down to where we live in our modern day. So when they tell us to do things contrary to what God says in His Word, guess what? We have to decide who's our king. Is it the Lord Jesus Christ, or is it my earthly king? Sorry, we must obey God rather than men. 1 Timothy chapter 6 is a very clear statement about Jesus Christ as king now, not future. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Right? The good fight is of faith. Not political action, all those things. I'm not saying we don't stand for things that are good, are right for our nation, for our state, our county, or whatever. But notice the focus needs to be on the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou also art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is surprising how many times you see Lord Jesus Christ. So if somebody does not recognize Jesus Christ as Lord, I'm sorry, I don't care how many words they repeated after soul winner, they could do it 10 times over. Until they recognize Jesus Christ as Lord, they are not in Christ. Again, going back to the morning message, which in His times He shall show. Notice this, who is, not will be, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. What earthly king can say they're like that? Whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom the honor and power everlasting, amen. That's the king we serve. In closing, notice Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Revelation 11, notice verse 15. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, notice, the kingdoms, by the way, I think some of the modern Bibles make that singular, kingdom of this world. They're talking about a global kingdom. If there's one kingdom, then we're talking about a global kingdom. The modern Bibles acknowledge a global kingdom. That is very interesting when you study that out. The kingdoms, plural, of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. So is this only when He comes back the second time? This is already true, according to 1 Corinthians 15. He is going to rule until He delivers the kingdoms up to His Father. Notice, and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Notice the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned." And notice the nations were angry. Sounds like Psalm 2. The nations were angry, and Thy wrath has come. The time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that Thou shouldest give reward unto Thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear Thy name, notice small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. You know, they're accusing us of destroying the earth because of our carbon footprint. while they're flying all over the world to their conferences and conventions and all these things that are, no, they want to control us. They want to keep us in our little 15-minute cities so they can control us. Notice, God's going to destroy them which destroy the earth. Notice the temple of God was opened in heaven. And it was seen in his temple, the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Notice, Jesus Christ is seated on the throne. Revelation 15:3 calls him the King of Saints. As we close, I want you to be reminded of Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That should be our first priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want you to think about history here a little bit, just as an illustration as we finish up here. On April 18, 1775, John Adams and John Hancock were at the home of, they say Reverend, Pastor Jonas Clark. Maybe he did call himself a reverend, I don't know, but a Lexington pastor and militia leader. The same night, Paul Revere arrived to warn them of the approaching redcoats. The next morning, British Major Pitcairn shouted to an assembled regiment of Minutemen, "Disperse, ye villains." There's a difference of opinion whether he said villains or rebels. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing. "Disperse, ye villains. Lay down your arms in the name of George, the sovereign king of England." The response from Pastor Clark or one of his company was this: "We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus." We need to get back to that now. Can I help you wake up to this? You're not going to overthrow the global government. The only reason I'm preaching about the beastly kingdom is so that we know what's going on. See how we're going to go and we're going to overthrow. No, God says how it's going to turn out. I've been showing you from Revelation how it's going to turn out. You're not going to overthrow it. In fact, as we had a discussion here recently, who knows, we might be slowing things down if we try to overthrow it. Let Jesus come. Let Jesus come. We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus. We need to restore, according to this article that I printed off here, the last page of it, the last paragraph or so, we need to renew the historic battle cry of our Christian forefathers: "We have no king but King Jesus." Patrick Henry is quoted as saying, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." Also, John Jay, first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, said this: "Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers." Can I remind you that probably the reality is that is gone in America? I'm going to use Judah, and this is why we're studying the kings of Israel and Judah. You think about Judah. Okay, so they have a good king, and then they have several bad kings. Oh, and then have a really good king, and then some bad kings. But it's going down and down and down. So then they have Josiah, the last good king, if I remember the order right. And then after him, till there is no remedy. God knows what's going to happen. God knows where we are in history. We need to trust him. Remember, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's in charge, even though our world looks like, Klaus Schwab, he's the enemy. It's like, they serve an enemy. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have discernment in these last days. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to check to see if in truth Jesus is our King, our Lord. Lord, it's not enough to say that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is he to us? Lord, I pray that you'd help us to search our hearts to see if we're seeking first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.